It was nighttime, raining. My mother, father, and sister were with me, beside themselves with excitement at the prospect of seeing this woman I'd been chattering about for all these years. I, on the other hand, was some combination of scared, anxious, and resigned to the fact that when nothing happened, it would prove beyond a doubt how completely nuts I really was. We dimmed the lights a little, at her request, so as not to hurt her eyes on her first physical trip to this dimension in several centuries, or so she said. And then we waited. But not for long. There was a rocking chair beside me. Slowly, with silent grace, the folds of a pale blue dress took form, draping from the seat of the chair to the floor. Next came a hand, resting in the lap of the soft dress, its fingers long and slender. My father ecstatically blurted out, "Don't anyone talk until she's gone, so we'll know we didn't influence each other about what we saw." No problem. Mother and Sharon were too busy gasping in awe to form actual words anyway. An arm gradually appeared above the hand, with smooth mocha skin, and then resting against it a long braid of thick black hair. That was enough for me. While my family kept watching, utterly enchanted, I turned away and never glanced back. Dr. John Rennick, a psychiatrist who has become one of my favorite teachers and confidant, was surprised at me when I told him the next day about my reaction to Francine's physical debut. He thought I should be thrilled. "I've known all along that you're too strong and well-integrated to have any serious psychological problems, let alone schizophrenia," he told me. "But you and your family saw Francine with your own eyes. She's real, which means that you're perfectly sane. Why did you turn away from her?" I don't cry often, but I remember feeling tears on my cheeks. "Because I have to live in this world, Dr. Rennick. I hear and see so much that normal people don't have to put up with. I don't want to be some airy-fairy weirdo. I want to be a teacher. I'm goofy enough. I can't afford to be any goofier." He smiled, looked into my eyes, and said, "What a perfectly sane thing to say." I finally smiled back. I still have a written diagnosis from him. Normal, but has paranormal abilities. Even with the question mark, it meant a lot to me, coming from a highly respected psychiatrist, and at least as a psychic, and I've never questioned my sanity again. Now that I had fully accepted Francine, and at the risk of sounding like an ingrate, I began complaining to her about her high-pitched, chipmunk-like chirp, and asked if she couldn't find some slower, lower octave, less irritating way to communicate. She explained again that she couldn't control the distortion of the sound of her voice as it traveled from her dimension to mine, but for the first time, she offered an alternative. If I would trance, she could speak through me using my voice. I wouldn't be aware of anything that was said during the trance, but I could tape it and listen afterward to whatever she had to say. My response was a less polite version of "fat chance." I wanted no part of that. Letting a spirit guide occasionally borrow my vocal cords hardly sounded compatible with my determination to keep one foot safely planted in the rational world. She assured me that trancing was risk-free, that it would be very helpful, and that I would never find myself unable to come back and take charge again. I didn't care. The answer was still a resounding no. She started to talk about trying it sometime if the opportunity presented itself, just to give me the experience, but I cut her off, finished with the whole conversation. It happened a few days later in a hypnosis class led by Dr. Royal. My friend Mary Margaret, whom I've known since kindergarten, was with me. I remember being counted down as usual. The next thing I remember was regaining consciousness. I'm double-jointed, so it was particularly graceless awakening. I was still seated on my chair, but I was bent over with the top of my head resting on the floor between my feet. Everyone in the room was gaping at me. Self-conscious and very confused, I sat up and asked what had happened. All of them, including Dr. Royal, talked excitedly over each other. I caught phrases like, "You should have heard yourself," and "So much information," and "Where did all of that come from?" And the one that especially caught my attention, "It was like you were someone else." Finally, Mary Margaret leaned close to my ear and discreetly announced, "Francine was here, talking through you." I insisted that there must be some mistake, but Mary Margaret was a close friend who knew me well, and she had been hearing about Francine for years. It wasn't just that Francine had introduced herself to the class while I was gone. The speech patterns, the rhythms, the terminology, everything that came out of my mouth with my voice was so dramatically different from what Mary Margaret knew to be me that there wasn't a doubt in her mind or anyone else's that somehow, as I voluntarily slipped into hypnotic trance, Francine had stepped in and taken my place. And by the way, they loved her and hoped she would come back soon. I was furious. I confronted Francine that night, demanding to know how she could betray me like that. She patiently reminded me that she had told me she would be watching for an opportunity to channel through me, and the hypnotic trance she used to accomplish it was voluntary on my part. So she hadn't really lied to me, nor had she really come in against my will. She just wanted to show me how safe it was for me to channel her, that I could and would always come back, and that it was a perfect way to help her communicate with those who had no other way to hear what she had to say. I have never won an argument with Francine, including that one. She convinced me to give channeling a try. When she talks through me, it's always with my willing permission, and she's been of immeasurable help to countless people. It frustrates me that I never get to hear what she has to say until later. But I have thousands of tapes of her lectures and agree that, except for the sheer mechanics of my voice itself, she sounds nothing like me. Her speech pattern is very slow and deliberate compared to mine. Her knowledge and vocabulary far exceed mine, and she never says a single word in jest. I was 19 years old when I embraced Francine as a legitimate part of my life, graduated from college and became, almost as a diversion, a full-fledged licensed hypnotist. I thought it might be a useful tool for helping people stop smoking and lose weight. I never dreamed it would lead me to some of the most remarkable experiences of my life, throw open the door to the other side, and then dare me to have the faith and the courage to step through it.